Hello, welcome to this week's edition of the Video News Endscreen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon from Endscreen Media is with me. Hey, Colin, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Will, and I'm really looking forward to the Video Ad Summit coming up next month, right?
Yeah, actually not next month, this month.
Oh, it's this month. That's right, end of this month.
Time flies when you're having fun. Yeah, it's Wednesday, May 29th in New York, and it's actually our ninth annual. Hard to believe this will be our ninth one that we've done. So we have an awesome lineup, over 30 speakers, I think maybe 35 speakers at this point. Our keynoter is going to be Peter Naylor, who's the SVP and head of advertising sales at Hulu, which is actually going to be our topic today. But I've known Peter for ages, and he is absolutely on the front line of this whole new living room area where people are consuming Hulu. 80% of Hulu now consumed in the living room. And we've seen such a surge in what you've called the FAST services, the free ad-supported TV services. And so looking forward to that. And you're also going to be moderating a session on mobile video at the summit.
I am, and I'm really looking forward to that. It's got Henry Embleton from Elation, who actually our podcast listeners will remember that we interviewed Henry a while ago, and he was great, really interesting. Dan Hurwitz of Panthera, and a bunch of other people, or several other people on that panel. So I'm really looking forward to it, Will.
That's great. Well, hopefully our listeners will attend, and I think we should probably get going.
I think we should. We are going to talk about Hulu. We're recording this on May 1st, and they just announced new subscriber numbers and a whole bunch of new content. I think we're going to focus on the subscriber numbers to start with, but you wrote about it this morning, so why don't you give us the lowdown?
Yeah, they did their NewFront presentation this morning in New York, and I've been to that before. I wasn't able to go this year, but it's a jam-packed morning, and pretty cool to see how far Hulu has come. We have both been big fans of what Hulu has done, both on the SVOD side and more recently on the live TV or virtual pay TV side. So they announced this morning they're now up to 28 million subscribers in the U.S., 26.8 million of those are paid, 1.3 million are promotional. They did not offer a breakout of what number of those 28 million are on the SVOD side or on the live TV side. I think the last number we had from them was about a million on the live TV side, wasn't it?
I thought I heard an announcement that that actually hit 2 million on that, Will, but I need to double check that number.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, actually. I think I'm dated in that thought. But yeah, clearly the vast majority are still on the SVOD side. And earlier this year, they did something that I thought was pretty clever. We'll talk about it some more during this podcast, which was reducing their price on the ad-supported SVOD service. They dropped that by $2 a month to $6 per month. And guessing that that has also had an impact on subscriber growth. They said they added 7.5 million paid subscribers in 2018, and also pretty solid for them was that the average time spent per subscriber was up in 2018 over 20%, and total hours watched per subscriber was up 75%. And as I mentioned before, and I think they've actually been reporting this number for a while now, 80% of their viewing occurs in the living room. So we'll talk about some more data points, but just pause there for a minute to say, from my standpoint, I think it's pretty impressive growth by Hulu. They I think they've effectively differentiated themselves from Netflix, which of course is the 800-pound gorilla in the ad-free SVOD space. But I think Hulu is now pretty clearly the market leader in the hybrid ad-supported premium video space. That's a differentiator from YouTube, of course, which has some premium content but a whole lot of non-premium stuff. And Hulu, I think, has really pioneered this space and been very aggressive about investing. We'll talk more about their original programming that they announced today as well. But overall, I think they've made a ton of progress and really have become the gold standard in so many different ways now.
They certainly have. And I think they were one of the first companies, I think, to introduce an opt-out for ads of the folks that were allowing ads. I remember CBS All Access followed fairly swiftly afterwards. The price at that time was $4. You pay $4 extra a month and you get to watch the on-demand stuff ad-free. Well, this revision was probably, if they really want to push the pedal to the metal on the advertising model, the change certainly will do that, and I think is doing that. Because what they actually did, I don't know if people remember, but the Hulu's basic price last year was the same as Netflix entry level price, which is $7.99 a month. Netflix actually bumped their price $1 to $8.99 a month, and so that actually made Hulu a little bit cheaper. And that's with ads. And then, of course, you add the $4 on to get to $11.99 to get without ads. And what they did was they lowered the price for entry level from $7.99 to $5.99. And they left the price that somebody who wanted to watch with ads would pay as the same. So, in other words, it became $6 to watch without ads. And I think that if they wanted to address the problem of more people watching with ads, that's the right thing to do. I ran an analysis of this last year, Will, and actually back in 2013, I reckoned about 59% of Hulu's revenue was coming from ads. You fast forward to 2018, and it was down to about 36%. So very definitely their subscribers were skewing pretty heavily towards ad-free viewing. And the way I calculated this was with various statements about how much ad revenue they were earning and how many subscribers they had. So it was fairly easy, I think, to put that together. And for sure, lowering that entry-level price and making that price differential between ad-free viewing and ad viewing so big is absolutely going to have a big impact on what people do when they sign up. I'm not sure. I'm not convinced. I know 3 million is a really pretty big addition, and it's in 4 months because the last time they made an announcement, Will, was back in December, early December, and they said they had 25 million. So they picked up 3 million in 4 months. Certainly that isn't faster than their previous growth rate. Maybe a little bit, maybe a tad slower, but it's certainly at about the same rate. So, you know, I'm not sure that they needed to cut the price $2, but it certainly is addressing, I think, the problem that they had, which is the reduced ad revenue. So, you know, probably a good move from that perspective.
Yeah, I mean, they said today that their ad-supported audience increased by 43% to 58 million viewers in 2018. That's viewers, not subscribers.
Right, right.
And they also said their total ad-supported hours increased by 82%. So I don't know how those numbers would tie to what you just shared. I mean, my sense of Hulu on the rate decrease when they dropped it by $2 was that I think it was a recognition that advertisers are really keen to buy into the service and that they wanted to create more eyeballs and more inventory. And so reducing that was actually a way to expand their audience. What that did specifically in terms of their revenue mix, as you were just pointing out, you said 36%, you reckon 36% of their revenue is coming from advertising. I don't know what that number is. That's, I think, a hard one to know. But overall, I think the strategy was very smart on their point because we know advertisers are hungry to be online, to follow their audiences that are cutting the cord. And Hulu, I think, arguably has become the leader in terms of offering premium only inventory that's targetable and going to be consumed mostly on TV. That's a path that lots of other folks are chasing, whether it's YouTube or Roku with the Roku channel or lots of other entries. You know, we'll see Warner Media in the market later this year, NBC early next year probably. But Hulu, I think, has really carved out market leadership on this one.
I think they have, Will. And as you say, look, this is manna from heaven for advertisers, right? Because they're really getting shut out increasingly at prime time as people spend time on ad-free services like Netflix and Amazon Prime Video and HBO Now and all the rest. And getting out of ads on Hulu was a great way to also spend a lot less time with advertising at prime time. And this actually opens up new inventory, which people are watching, we know, predominantly on their TVs. I think they said like 80% on their TVs.
Yeah, 80%.
And that's almost certainly a lot of that viewing is going on at prime time. And in fact, what I remember, I think there was some Comscore data from last year that actually showed that Hulu had among the highest engagements of any SVOD service. So people were watching for longer and more frequently on Hulu than even Netflix. So I think this really was very timely if you're an advertiser, because now you have an opportunity to reach people at a time when it is becoming increasingly difficult to do so, which is right in prime time. I love the fact that they're continuing to innovate with advertising, Will. They made a statement. They haven't given any details. They were supposed to be doing that today, I think, in another presentation, on a new ad avail, a new ad pod that they're providing, a non-disruptive ad pod for binge viewing. So it'd be very interesting to see what they're planning on doing there. And of course, they've been testing pause ads, which I think is a great idea, and I'm really surprised that that hasn't been implemented fully sooner, because it, as you know, it's pretty much dead space, right? You pause the video and you might as well put an ad up there if ads is your business. So I think that's a great innovation as well. So I'm really looking forward to hearing what they're planning on doing with the binge ad.
Yeah, those are great points. I think, again, they have been an innovator, a leader in really, I think, recreating the TV experience, the TV viewing experience. And there has been, I should say, a lot of hand-wringing in the industry about people fleeing to add free services like Netflix and like Amazon Prime Video. And here's Hulu offering a premium video service with targetable inventory for audiences that are fleeing the most and are most sought after. So I give them a lot of credit on that front as well. And that's really, I think, a key part of what people are going to hear at the Ad Summit from Peter later this month, which is this notion of being viewer first in all that they do. And I think they really recognized early on that the ad loads were just have gotten way too high in linear TV and even in some forms of on demand as well. And I think they recognize that that causes fatigue, which in turn drives people out to the ad free services like Netflix and Amazon. And so by innovating, by reducing ad loads, by making ads more targeted, by just making the viewer experience superior to what one typically gets when one sits down with a linear TV show or any kind of sports programming, I think they've really sort of enhanced their brand and really positioned themselves well in the market.
I do too. And, you know, one of the great things, I've listened to Randy Freer, who's Hulu CEO, speak on this topic, Will, and he's pretty blunt. I mean, he just states right out that the ad load in television is driving people away, and they're very mindful of the experience inside of Hulu. And I have watched Hulu with ads, not all the time, but I do watch it sometime with ads. And the ad load is, to me, not unacceptable. It works pretty well. One thing that I wonder is NBCU, of course, is launching their service next year, and they say that will be free to pay television in subscribers, and will probably be supported by ads. That's how, certainly in the Comcast call, that's how they implied that would be monetized. And I wonder if they've learned the lesson of Hulu, and that they'll come in with a reasonable ad load, reasonable targeted ad load, and innovate a little bit to make them as non-disruptive as possible. But I guess we'll have to wait and see about that.
Yeah, we will wait and see. It's a hard one to predict. I think it's taken Hulu a good long while to get to the point that it's now at, and taken them, no doubt, a lot of experimentation and a lot of working hand in hand with advertisers to see what the sweet spot is in terms of ad load, targeting, willingness to pay higher rates, the different ad formats that they use. There have been a lot of different levers that Hulu has pulled over the years, and it does seem like they're now hitting a sweet spot. And of course, one other thing that we haven't mentioned yet in this podcast, which is also essential to Hulu's growth, is the aggressive investments that they've made in original programming. And they announced further efforts on that front again today at their NewFront, a couple of Marvel TV shows coming next year, a Nicole Kidman show coming, a series based on the story of the Theranos founder, Elizabeth Holmes, which HBO just did a movie about, renewal of some other series. And they've had some successes, whether it's The Handmaid's Tale or The Act or other shows. So certainly not at the level of what we've seen from Netflix, but again, they're, I think, playing in a different game than somewhat different game than Netflix. And the last point that I would make is that when you take a step back and look at the property, the value this Hulu franchise now is, 28 million subscribers in the U.S., and you consider that Disney is already owned 70% now that they've bought out AT&T share, potentially going to get the next 30% from Comcast, and then on top of that, they're going to launch Disney Plus later this year. When we're talking on the podcast this time next year, it's going to be, I think, pretty clear that Disney is going to own two of the top streaming properties, and that's going to put them in a phenomenal, phenomenal market position, I think.
Yeah, you bet, Will. And let's not forget that Disney also has just bought the top slot in the Indian market called Hotstar that came to them with the Fox acquisition. So they are really, I mean, in one fell swoop, they're really jumping into the top spot, or at least the nearly top spot in the US market and in some other markets as well. So it's a big change in the market. It makes me think back to something that Reed Hastings said in the Netflix call, which he said he didn't think Apple and Disney's entry into the market would be material. I gotta tell you, I'm not feeling it. I think it's going to be very material. I think it's going to have a big impact and really shake things up. That aggressive price point is going to be really tough, I think, on the big guys. But I don't want us to paint a completely glowing picture for the future of Hulu. There are some pretty difficult problems that the company has to overcome, I think, to continue to be successful. Principally, which is solving the Comcast NBCU issue. And rumors surfaced, I think, last week, right after the Comcast earnings call, that Comcast was indeed talking to Disney about selling it its 30% share in Hulu. I must admit, the more I look at the position that Hulu is in and where it's headed, it is less aligned with Comcast and NBCU every single day. And I absolutely believe they're probably talking about selling it to Disney. But that creates a huge problem for Hulu. One of the biggest value propositions, I think, propositions that Hulu offers is that it has content from the big three of the big four broadcasters in the US, and very, very recent content. So if you miss an episode of your favorite show on NBC, you can jump on Hulu and catch it a couple of days later, ad-supported, for just $6 a month. And I think that's a very big value proposition to consumers. If they lose NBC content, then they really only have stuff from ABC and Fox now. And the value proposition is, I think, considerably watered down. And that, more than anything, could slow or stymie the growth that they're seeing in subscribers. So that, how they solve that problem, Will, I just don't know. Because if I'm NBCU, I want my content. I want my early release content for my service, which I'm delivering next year.
So, yeah, I agree. I think it's a very valid point. It's similar in a way to what the challenges that Netflix has had to navigate over the years also. They've certainly lost their share of marquee content. They're continuing to lose the Disney content that's rolling off. And I think their strategy was to try to create their own originals at a level that kept people glued in there. And I think that's basically exactly what Hulu is doing, is investing in their own originals, such that, yeah, if they were to lose the NBC programming at some point, which they may or they may not, depends on how Comcast plays this. If Comcast continues to own 30% share of Hulu, they may be incented to keep their content in there in some way, shape, or form. But Hulu is going to be investing separately and to try to mitigate if they do lose the NBC programs.
Right. And I don't know. That's a really interesting question. I think one of the biggest reasons I've heard given for Comcast staying invested in Hulu is it gives them a front row seat to the changes that are going on, and they can fold that information back into their own services or announced service, which is one right now. I don't know that is going to be good enough to hang on to that investment. I think, as you say, Hulu is valued very highly right now. This could be an excellent time to liquidate and take that money and put it to maybe creating some original content for NBCU's service. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've been saying for over a year, I really thought Comcast should have bought Hulu, the other 70% of Hulu that they didn't own. I think it would have been so strategic for them. And now seeing what Hulu's continued growth is and the pending rollout of the Disney Plus service and how the whole direct-to-consumer game is going to be completely changed by a year from now. It does make me wonder a little bit, the Comcast broadband business is very solid, but what the video business is going to become without a major DTC franchise to run with. But we'll see how the pieces sort out. I think we're just about out of time for today, though, right?
Yeah, I think so, Will. But fascinating discussion, and I'm sure this is something that we will come back to again in the not-too-distant future.
Absolutely. Well, great chatting, Colin. Thanks, everyone, for listening in on this week's Video News In Screen Media podcast, and we'll see you all again next week.